I believe that the wisdom of God is able to always get stuff to us right where we need it. Mark 9:23, Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believe. I mean, you got the power to do something. You got the influence. We're in an influence war, and the enemy is trying to convince us that we don't have the influence that we need in this hour, and we don't have the capacity, the ability to gain that influence. But I want you to know that Jesus has given, we've been authorized to be influential. Mm-hmm. He wants us to use our influence for the wrong reasons. So if thou canst believe, all things are possible to them that believe. So I want you to grasp a hold of this, is that I believe, amen, therefore I can step out and do the thing. But the Bible says this, and when the straightway the father of the child cried out with tears and said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And I believe that there's a vacillation going on. James said a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. If that man asks in faith, if he's waving, don't let him think he's going to receive anything. And I think the battle is, there's a faith in your heart, but pressure comes against your mind. Pressure comes against your emotions. And then you got to look at the bill and the due date. Come on. And all those things begin to war on you, and they seem to draw you away from your faith. So that's why we got to, number one, we got to start hearing the word of God more accurately. I mean, we got to be more attentive to the word of God. Then we got to give ourselves to the meditation of the word more consistently so that we can begin to build faith. We got to keep laying brick and stone until faith gets solid and solidified on the inside of us. Because the things that are possible for us are only possible when we're in Bible faith, when we're in true belief, when we truly from our heart adhere to it. Because the confusion, you hear yourself, I know I believe. Well, God spoke to me one day, and I was believing for something, and you know, the time was getting close, and I'm like, Lord, you know, I ain't sweating this, but I know you can do this, and so what's taking you so long? And he told me this. He said, well, first of all, you didn't give me enough time. I'm thinking, you God, you didn't leave us 6 days to create this whole universe. What do you mean I didn't give you enough time? He said, son, when I work in the earth, I work through men, and I don't go against men's will. He said, you should have started talking to me about this long ago to give me time. He said, watch this. God know what you have need of before you act, but you have not because you ask not. He said when you put in your request, that's when I release the purchase order. He said, because I got to deal with men. He said, I've already been to several that have said no. I've been to those that are debating about it. So you got to give me a time frame. That's why we have to be consistent and stop. You know, you got to get your pride out the way. But it's possible to them that believe that. I know, what about the word? What about grace? What about mercy? There's a time in your life when you got to rise up and realize the just shall live by faith. Amen. It's by grace, but it's through faith. Everything the grace of God has provided, it takes faith to lay hold to and draw it into your affairs. So we got to start working this thing on a consistent basis. But all things are attainable. All things are possible to them that believe. But when God speaks to us and tells us something, the first thing we want to figure out is who with us. Remember Moses said, let me know who with me. I ain't going to be out here by myself. Let me tell you a secret. God called you alone. Don't tell nobody I told you that. Luke chapter 1. God began to deal with us. We got to understand, when I begin to focus on what God said, God was speaking to me, and therefore God intended for me to do it. Now, God will give you more on your way. Your faith will grow as you go, but you got to understand, when God speaks to you, you can't start saying, well, Lord, you know, I only got a GED, and they say, and well, then you know, and let me tell you something, all things are not possible, amen, to the particular race. Come on now. Well, God, I'm not a Jew. If I was a Hebrew, it would probably work for me. No, I'm God called you, he knew you wasn't a Hebrew. But just to get rid of your excuse, he told you, you see the Abraham anyway, so you're excuseless. Y'all waiting on me in Luke 1, verse 30. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Verse 34, then said Mary unto the angel, now how is this going to happen? How how shall these things be? And I don't know a man. See, it's all right to talk to God about, okay, Lord, what you want me to do? How you want me to do it? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the what? The power, the authority, the dunamis, the miracle working ability, the very, in other words, something beyond you is going to get this done. It's going to get done with your cooperation, but I've got some super to put on your natural. I've got some unconventional stuff to bring into the reason. You got to understand that God's got a part and you got a part, but God's not going to run over you. He comes to you first, and that's why he'll dialogue with you, and he'll begin to talk with you. But the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, and therefore that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall come, be called the Son of God. And then verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. So you got to understand that there's an endowment of power, there's an endowment, there's a furnishing that God wants to bring into our life to get done. But I'm kind of tell you, the power is for that purpose. If she would have said, I'm engaged to a good man, and if I get pregnant, he's going to put me away. Since we start trying to figure out all the dynamics, how many know God understood all that? And all those thought patterns, guess what happened? The girl got filled with the Holy Ghost, got anointed by the presence of God, and that imbued her to where it impregnated her, but he had told her about cousin Lizzie, and she took off to Lizzie's house. She didn't say nothing to the boy. Remember, she couldn't text, tweet, or no Facebook post. He don't know what's going on. The girl done ran off. He ain't saw the girl in 90 days, and the girl showed back up, and she pregnant. And all he know, I've been waiting a whole year for this. I've been building, putting the house together. I done paid the dowry to your daddy, and you come back and played the harlot. How many know those are all assumptions that hit your mind? Because common sense will tell you this ain't no tumor. I ain't saw her in 3 months. I ain't got a letter. Ain't no carrier pigeon showed up. And then she come back all knocked up like this. And I'm supposed to be dumb enough to believe this is the prophecy that Isaiah said. These are Hebrews. They understood that prophetic word. But he like, man, I ain't crazy. I ain't no fool. I ain't going for that. Come on now. But he made a mistake. He went to sleep. And when he went to sleep, hallelujah, he gave God an opportunity to visit him. And God stepped in while he was asleep. Why, when you sleep, your mind shut down. And God stepped in and began to talk to his spirit and said, you ain't being pimped and played out. You are part of my plan, man. I want you to understand I've chosen the woman that you chose, and we're going to get this thing done together. And the Bible said he was trying to figure out how to put her away privately. That show you how much he loved her, because in Israel there is a law. If you play the harlot, baby, you get stoned to death. And Joseph got to cast the first stone. So he said, I don't want her to go out like that. I ain't vindictive, but I ain't even no fool. I ain't going to be played. But God showed up and let him know, this is my plan, man. You in my plan. He woke up with a direction from God. And then he began to protect that woman and protect that vision. So I came to tell you, there's divine protection and divine provision for the vision of God. But it still takes your cooperation. You got to get in there by faith. You got to trust God. You got to believe God. Because God want to get this thing done. And the Bible says, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Yes, Lord. You got to begin to let God know, I ain't got the dynamics, but I trust you, and we're going to get it done. Hallelujah. How many know? She didn't go to prayer. Now, Lord, you got to deal with Joseph. Lord, could you tell Joseph first? And Lord, could you please tell my mama now? No. She just said, yes, Lord. And when she said, yes, Lord, God went to work. God got involved and let her know, hey, we're going to get this thing done. I'm trying to get you to understand that we're in a season now. Let's go to Psalm 89. We're in a season now when God's looking for a people that's going to say, yes, Lord. God's looking for a people that want to go where he want to go and want to do what he want to do. Can you take a little bass out of this? It kind of got me tight here. Hallelujah. And verse 33, the Bible says in Psalm 89, nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly to take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. God is letting you know, I don't care how crazy your kids get. I don't care how crazy your mom and them get. I'm not going to let you down. If you walking with me, you doing what I told you to do, baby, I got your back. I don't care who walks off and leave you. I don't care who turns their back. I don't care who defaults. I want you to understand, I don't care who defects. I'm with you. I don't care who goes AWOL. I called you. I never leave you nor forsake you. Lord, I'm with you always, all the way through the project. It's a known fact, in Christendom, anytime any church has a building fund, there's some folk that's an exodus. Folk just leave the ministry because they don't want to build nothing. But that don't change the fact that God told you to build it. That don't change the fact that God told you to raise it up. And if you stay with God, God will stay with you. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. If God told you something, the key here is to get God to speak. Because once he said it, come on here, all I got to do is stay hooked up with it. If God says it and I flow with it, me and God going to get the job done. You got to understand God gives you more on your way. You want to figure out, God, how we going to do this? Don't worry about it. If God told you to build it, Creflo said when God told him to build that 10,000 feet dome, he didn't have no money. And he told God, I ain't got no money. He said, how much do you have? He told him, he said, God, that's just enough to dig a hole. He said, well, get started. And they dug the hole. Come on here. Then the next thing, no, he gave enough money to fill it with concrete, laid the foundation, and the rest is history. I came to tell you, while he was building that building, he got to a point to where he needed, hallelujah, several million dollars. And all he had was $88,000 in a building fund. And he went to prayer, and God spoke to him to send that to a man in California. And he didn't know the man in California had got ripped off by the contractor. And time came to pay the subcontractor, wasn't no money in the bank. You know, he got ripped off by his lawyer, and the lawyer had ripped him off. And hallelujah, and his staff told him to go off, praise the Lord. And he went off on a vacation to get his mind together. And while he was on vacation, the people was getting lurid. They were thinking they were going to leave because the pastor ain't doing right with his money. And then all of a sudden, they got the check from World Changers. And when they called a man of God, said, listen here, a man of God out of Atlanta, Georgia, have sent you $88,000 for your building. He came back, and when he held that check up, the congregation rose up, hallelujah, and they got in there, they paid that building off, and it loosed $2.5 million to come into Creflo, and he finished his building. But I came to tell you, you got to believe, well, $88,000, well, I can pay for something. And you don't just sow it, you hear God. Bro, Steve, praise the Lord. Verse 35. Once have I sworn. Let me change that word, holiness, for you. By my character. Once have I sworn by my integrity that I will not lie. Now, I know it's under David, but you can just take David's name out and put yours in there. I'll tell you what, just take the name off. I swore by my integrity, I will not lie. God is letting you know, I will not lie. And I came to tell you, Numbers 23:19 says, he's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Titus 1 and 2 says, God who cannot lie. It's, Hebrews 6:18 says, it's impossible for God to lie. Well, so what are we worried about? And what I need to know is, am I hearing him? Because if I'm hearing him, I'm hearing truth. And the Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. His word is truth. So if I've heard from God, I've heard the truth, and the truth don't bind me up. The truth liberates me. The Bible said, if I continue in his word, then shall I know the truth, and the truth shall make me free. Well, I came to tell you, it's time for us to believe the truth, believe what God said, because all things are possible to him that believe. If God said you can do it, then you got to say, I can. Come on here. Lord, I can do it with your help. I can do it with your anointing. It's by grace through faith. You supply the grace. I'm going to get in your word and supply the faith. God has given us faith. And the Romans 10:17 says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you understand? We're in a time now when we got to inundate. We got to saturate. We got to immerse ourselves in the word of God. Ain't no time for playing church. Ain't no time for dragging your Bible across your dashboard all week long. And then on Sunday you grab it off and run in here. And then Wednesday night you forget it, but you don't need it anyway. Come on here. You got the Bible on your phone, your tablet, your iPad, your Nook. Come on here. It's time to read the thing. You know, we're in a time now when you got to do more than just read your Bible. You got to study. You got to meditate the word. And when God is speaking to you in a particular area, get in your word in that area. I ain't never seen so many folks believing God for healing and studying over here on finances. Listen, if you're going to get healing, get out of them finance scriptures and get in your healing word. Then you got a book over here, hallelujah, talking about he believing God to pay the mortgage. And you read Isaiah 53:4-5. That ain't going to pay your mortgage. That's going to heal your body. It's time to get specific, get focused, get determined, and stay in that word, because that's where your faith level going to come up at. Go to Matthew 17. Jesus came off that mountain, boy, he was trying to cast this devil out. His disciples had tried to cast out a devil and couldn't. And the father was kind of a little frustrated because he took them to them and they couldn't get him delivered. But in Matthew 17:19, then came the disciples of Jesus apart after Jesus cast this devil out. And you know, Jesus made it look so easy. They tell him, well, what was our problem? We did that. We did what he did. Well, he just came off a mountain where he got a visitation in prayer. And the three with him went to sleep in prayer. So you got the folk coming to prayer. That ain't enough. You got to pray when you get here. Huh? They got by themselves and they said, Lord, now why? We couldn't cast him out. We tried. Jesus said unto them, because of what? Your unbelief. That's why you couldn't do it. See, we got some folk doing some stuff, but they're not fully persuaded it's going to work. They're trying to see that it's going to happen. Let me try it. Let me see. Don't be trying nothing. Meditate that word and you get fully persuaded. That was unbelief. You got to understand. The Bible said in the book of Mark, Lord, I believe, help what? Help thou my unbelief. So we know these men had to have a level of confidence or they never would have laid hands on the man. They never would have told the devil to come out. But yet they hadn't established it. See, we take for granted because I did it too weeks ago, it's going to work now. Now you got to stay consistent, stay in that word, keep the flesh under, keep your spirit fine-tuned to God. And so Jesus said, you couldn't do this because there was just enough unbelief in you, amen, to derail your confidence. There was enough unbelief working in you to stop your prayer from coming to pass. And then we get confused. I know I believe God. Well, you're talking to Jesus. And he said, because of your unbelief, what you going to say, Lord, I got to check you on that. Now, one thing about me, I believe. Jesus look at you and go, really? Matthew 19:26. Because I'm going to take y'all, we're going to get over here in Judges. I'm going to work with a thing. But I want you to understand, I'm trying to lay a little bit of a foundation for you. Hallelujah. And I want you to get this thing. And Jesus said in Matthew 19:26, Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I want you to understand something, because we got an attitude. Amen. That if I can get these 500 seats in here filled with men for three services on Sunday, then I can probably figure I can probably figure on at least $100 a body, $100 a person. How many know you figuring wrong? Because you got some bookers that'll be here every service and won't give $100 in a whole year. You can't count on men. What am I telling you? Your confidence got to be in God. Now God can move on men when God move on men, but you got to understand, baby, that God is not limited to men. Jonathan and his armor bearer went out against a little band of 20 Philistines, and the armor bearer didn't even have a sword because he bore Jonathan's sword. And when he gave Jonathan his sword, he said, well, ain't no other sword with us. The man said, do what's in your heart. I'm with you. If you want to go against them, two of us in one sword, then Jonathan said, you know what? The Lord is able to deliver by one, by few, or by many. It don't make no difference. And they rose up and got cocky and called to him. They looked up there and saw 1, 2, and 20. We're going to whoop y'all. They roll up there and all 20 of them got whooped and scripted. Come on. Because God was with them. I came to tell you, it ain't how many folks is with you. It's God with you. All things are possible to him that believe. With men, this is impossible, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. When I was trying to buy my escalator, I was trying to figure out all this, and God said, man, just send an email. Now, I'm thinking I got 500 and some people on the mailing list, ain't but 74 on the email list. And you say, send an email. Now, common sense say, the law of average, if I send out to 500, but God said. So, hallelujah, I tore up the letter, sent the email, and the next morning one man sent it back and said, I feel led to give you 20,000. I'm going to meet you in Conway. I'm trying to tell you, God said, I can deliver by one or I can deliver by many. Why are you trying to figure out if I can get 55 people, hey man, to give $2,000, then I'll be able to get the down payment to get started. And God said, why you need 55? I can give you a favor. You don't need no man. I'm just going to speak to somebody and they just going to come do the whole thing for you. Don't y'all read Luke chapter 7? The Bible said the man built a synagogue at his own expense, and he wasn't even a Christian. He wasn't even a Hebrew. He was a centurion. He wasn't even circumcised. Let's take the limit off of God. All things are possible to him that believe. God can be working on your favor right now while you're trying to figure out who he going to use. Who can I get to help me? Let me make 15 phone calls. Ain't nothing wrong with making 15 phone calls unless you haven't talked to God first. Mark 10:27. I'm just trying to tell you, he didn't say with thousands of men all things are possible. He didn't say with 15 supporting companies, all things are possible. He didn't say with a church of 1,500, you can do this. He said, all things are possible with God, with men. So you, I mean, you could have a church of 5,000 and can't get it done depending on them. Because, you know, folk like to play games. They want to manipulate and try to control you anyway. They want to sit there and pull on you and make you beg. And see what you, well, let me see, I'm going to make them sweat for a while. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to make them sweat. But when you got God, I know that was this preacher. He went someplace and God spoke to him and told him to build, add on to the church. So he, you know, trying to follow. He went to the deacons and told the deacons, and the deacons said, we ain't doing that. He said, you don't understand. God spoke to me and said, build this wing on this church and we need to get started in 2 months. He said, well, God gonna have to pay for it because I ain't writing no check. You ain't getting no money. Preacher hadn't been there but about a year. He just came in, took the church over. The other pastor had passed away, and he had got the church. And so he went back in the room and started praying, and God said, what I tell you to do? So he told the deacons, he said, well, we're going to get it done. So he started contacting contractors, and he went on, hallelujah, and all of a sudden one day he was preaching on a Sunday morning about 3 weeks later, hallelujah, and he got through preaching and came down. He still had his robe on, was wet. He was shaking people's hands and hugging people, and a little old lady came up to him and handed him a check for $88,000 that God told me he told you to build something, and he told me he wanted me to finance it for you. So here's a check. And she said, I don't know why, because he told me you was going to build it on the church, but he told me to make the check out to you. How many of that took the deacon's fingers off of it? The deacon couldn't control that. It wasn't made out to the church. It was made out to the man of God. Hallelujah. See, she didn't come to get no tax write-off. She came to obey God. She came to do what God said to do. He walked in the office while they was counting the offering. He said, Deacon, I just want you to know, next Thursday we'll be getting started. He said, here go my check right here. I told you what God told me to do. Hallelujah. And I'm trying to get you to understand, with God, all things are possible. God can call the stranger. Ain't never been to Camden, Arkansas to wake up and come. I was listening to Bill Winston, and he said a woman had lost her job and didn't have no unemployment, and she was crying out to God. She said, God, they're coming tomorrow to get my stuff and evict me out of here. I need you to help me, Lord. And God, you got to move from here. And she said, at midnight, somebody knocked on her door. And she like, who in the world knocking on the door at midnight? But they knocked again, so she opened the door, and her neighbor from upstairs stood there, wrecked in his vest pocket, and said, here's an arm over $2,000, tell your God to leave me alone. The boy wasn't even saved, but God's word, an unsaved man. I'm trying to tell y'all, all things are possible to him that believe. It's time for us to get away all the excuses. Stop getting mad at folks because you got unauthorized expectations, and because they didn't help you, because they didn't stand up. Now you're mad. You can't speak to folks. You can't holler face nobody no more because you feel like they the reason for your failure. I came to tell you, you have got misguided focus. You got unrealistic, unauthorized expectation. But the Bible, you're the one I heard say, I'm going to lift my eyes unto the hills. I came to tell you to focus on God. God, didn't you hear your Bible say, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I dare you to make God your real source. Y'all waiting on me in Mark 10:27. And Jesus said unto them, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, what? All things are possible. I'm trying to drive it home. I want you to get a hold to it. I want you to understand this thing is going to be done with God, with the help of God, with the favor of God, with faith in God. Because God will give you favor with God and man. Do you understand, hallelujah, that God will move on you and he'll cause people to be a blessing to you? But you got to understand, you got to step on out and stop trying to figure it out. Stop trying to manipulate people. Stop trying to get folks to do stuff. Just let God be the one that's going to do it. Hallelujah. I was talking to my wife. And I said, look, I said, you know, my Escalade got them low profile 22s on it. And I was like, Lord, I'm about 4 tires and 20,000 miles. I'm tired of this. I need some real tires. So I called somebody. I said, listen, this is the name brand I've been buying. I don't want it. I want something better than this. Call me back. The owner called back and said, well, we researched the tires you've been buying ain't number 20,000 to 25,000 mile radios. She said, but I got some 60,000 mile radios, but my cost is $30 a tire more than what you've been paying. I said, I don't care, buy them. I need them. Watch this. When I said that, she said, well, I tell you what I want to do. I want to buy two. I said, all right. She said, you buy two and I'll buy two. Now, I didn't call looking for nobody to buy nothing. I'm called looking for a better tire. But the hand of God was already in it. So I got to praise the Lord, put the tires on. Then when I got ready to put the tires on, they said, well, you need to check your front end. I said, the front end need alignment. Hallelujah. So they align the front end and then put everything in the price. Then I look at the receipt. I got discounts I didn't even know existed. And then when I paid cash for it, hallelujah, turn around and hand me $20 more back out of that. You got to understand that's the favor of God. But you can't go around and say, well, maybe if it, no, baby, let's just believe God. All things are possible for them that believe, and God will give you favor with me. But see, what's wrong with you? You're trying to be a religious con. You're the little old sanctified pimp, and God can't do nothing for you because you are out here. You're doing everything yourself. You're pulling strings. Trying to figure out. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4. Yeah, 2 Corinthians 4:13. See, the basis for speaking is believing. And how can we speak if we don't believe? How can we call on him in whom we don't believe? How can we believe if we don't hear? So the basis, amen, for building my belief, I got to hear this word and hear this word. I want to challenge you this year to read your Bible out loud more than you ever have. At home by yourself, read your Bible out loud. When you get through reading it out loud on your iPhone, tell Siri to read it for you. If you come on here, whatever you got, if you got the spoken word on there, let your Bible read it to yourself. Read your Bible out loud. Hear the word. Hear the word. Hear the word. I ain't got nothing against hearing preaching, but I'm trying to tell you, amen, be specific on what you hear. Choose. I got certain series that I listen to at certain times because it's in line with where I'm going, where I'm bent toward. Why? Because I'm trying to establish that faith level. I'm trying to bring that faith level up. I ain't going to sit and be sitting here playing with the thing, and the problem ain't on God's end. If the word says I can have it, that means God says I can have it, and I don't have it, then the problem got to be on my end, and I do not believe in that. But the devil hindered me. I can't go with that, baby, because you got power over all the power of the devil. You got authority over all demons, and if that devil ain't backing up, you better get in that word, get your faith level up enough to use your authority in such a way it backs him up. Stop making excuses. Well, I don't know why God ain't putting you through nothing. It's a deficit. There's a faith deficit, and we don't want to accept it, but I said, God, I'm surrendering all pride to you. Wherever I got to come up, bring me up, because I want my stuff and you ain't the one holding it back. And I refuse. I am no longer willing to do without. I don't want to be no welfare Christian. I want to be a Christian that fares well. Time out for you believing for a man with a picture. Time to be one. You know what that means, don't you? You want somebody to come meet your needs. So now, Lord, now raise me up. Let me be the man with the picture. Let me be the man that pour out for somebody else. I ain't talking about pride. I know I'm maturity now. Let's grow up and say, God, it's about time for me to start helping somebody. I'm always got my hand out. Who can I give out to? Who can I raise up? Who can I help? Whose hand can I strengthen? Whose arms can I hold up? See, we're in a generation now. It's time for a paradigm shift, and not on God's end, in your mindset. Because God is waiting to find somebody faithful. You tell my God, get it too. Me, God said, baby, can I get it through you? Will you be a wealth distribution center as opposed to a tax collector? We have in the same spirit, did I tell you verse 13? We have in the same spirit of faith according as it is written. So we got to meditate on what he wrote. The word of God was spoken that it may be written, and it was written that it may be spoken. We got to get this word and meditate it until we get inundated with it. We get so full of the word that folks just get tired of being around you. That every time you open your mouth, you're talking about the Bible. Can you talk about anything else? Let me see. And the word says, well, I guess I can't. I'm just kingdom struck. Come on here. You got to get so kingdom conscious that the word becomes a filter. I'm not talking about being religious and ignorant. I'm talking about when you start making decisions, the word of God pops up for you. So, wait a minute. According to the word, we can't do that. Well, that sounds good, but the word says thou shalt not, so I can't do that. The word tell me don't get in league with unbelievers. That sounds like a pretty good business deal, but you say that owner ain't saved. That owner ain't serving God. He ain't even religious. I can't hook up with him. I need the money, but I believe God got another avenue because God is my source. But see, we so needy and we want a testimony so bad, we're going to sign our name with some old hustler. Ooh, y'all better know. You better know. If I could get these monitors right, I'd just take y'all on to heaven with me. I believe and therefore have I what? Spoken. What? My whole basis for speaking is because I already believe. Y'all ever read Romans chapter 4? Abraham being fully persuaded that what God said he would perform. Therefore being not weak in faith, but being strong in faith. See what I'm saying? I believe, help my unbelief. See, that was a time when Abraham was weak in faith. He had faith, but it wasn't potent faith. It's time for, do you understand that the Bible tells us that Abraham had gotten so old now he was impotent. Sarah was barren as a young woman. We know Abraham was potent. That's how he got Ishmael, trying to work it out. But God waited till he got impotent. Now here it is. He ain't kicking no more. She ain't been kicking all the time. And God shows up and said, now I'm going to get involved. And y'all going to work with me. And we're going to do this thing in 1 year. In 1 year's time. Been 24 years and ain't nothing going on. But now I got you in a point where in the natural, ain't no way you can bring it to pass without me. Now let's do it with me. And with God, a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman bring forth a baby. Come on here. And that wasn't the only one she had, but watch this. At 127, when she died, this book will go through his 40 days of Jewish mourning, and then he marries Keturah and gets 5 more babies. Sound like God is doing something that's not just an event. I'm trying to tell you, all things are possible to them that believe, but we got to stretch it. Let's knock the ends out this thing. Get God out that box. Take God out the container. Let's get on the level playing field with God. Let's find out what God wants and just say, yes, Lord. Lord, I believe I receive what you're saying. You said that we're going to get it done. Let's go for it, God. Well, we better use a little common sense now. I ain't tell you not to. Let me just leave that alone. Let's just go to Judges. Let me work with Judges chapter 6. Whoo. You got to get this thing with God, not with thousands of people, with God. And see, here's what God told me when he was dealing with me. He said, son, don't try to do it with your own resources, because you know what? Like, for you know, you're going to be out of money. Okay, you know, I sold my Jaguar the other day, a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago, whatever. And so then something, I don't know what I did, but anyway, time came. And I took $500 out there and paid my Escalade payment. And then the Lord said, what you do that for? I said, well, he said, what you going to do next month? He said, let's just roll it on out. You're going to keep chipping off us. It's all gone. Then what you going to do? What my point is, are we going to do it with God or with our resources? Your resources are limited. His are not. You got to make a decision. I am going to believe God, and I'm not going to get up and talk about it and front like I'm believing God just because I got the microphone. No, I got to put the microphone down, get me my Bible, and let me start believing God till I get to the point to where I know I'm walking by faith. I'm doing what I'm saying. His faith is backing it up, and it's working for me. You got to understand, we're in a generation now. Too many friends ain't got no future. Folk like to pretend, want you to think like. See, they want the praises of men. Hey, we're concerned about their opinions of men. The opinions of men are not going to get you to consummate the call of God. You got to listen, because sometimes the call of God will change men's opinion about you. You know that one day they were saying Hosanna, the same group said crucify. Yeah, you can't go with the opinions of men. I could ask Pastor Elaine, she could probably tell me over these last 3 decades passing, a bunch of folk don't say, I'm with y'all. Where they at now? I don't know. Y'all in Judges chapter 6, Israel had done evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord had delivered them to the hand of the Midians. Now, just for your information, Midian means strife. And the Bible tells you where envy and strife is, that's what? Confusion and every evil work. So your strife tolerance should be -0. And the hand of strife prevailed against the prince with God. Israel is the prince of God, got the power with God. Because of strife, the children of Israel made dens, that's holes in the side of the mountain, cut little caves. Verse 3. And so it was when Israel had sown. I want you to see that. Strife, you a sower, you a big time giver. You living for God, you sowing. But baby, when you don't deal with strife, that the strife came up. And the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. You are a sore, but undealt with strife will come against you. And you know when it's going to show up big time? At harvest time. right? When you need your stuff. They encamped against them and did what? Strife destroyed what? The increase, which is what? The harvest, which is the produce of what you had sown, which is what your seed produced. God, where my stuff? It came up. Strife took it. Till thou come to Gaza and left no what? So that means no preservation of life. Your basics, you got to eat, come on here, just to keep your strength up. But strife came, the Midianites, the enemy came to take, amen, the basic preservation of life. Amen, just what it takes just to keep your flesh alive, to keep your flesh sustained and preserved, and to preserve your life. Watch this now. And Israel, for Israel, that's the people, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. They took what you sown, then they taking their cattle, they taking their livestock, and you in a situation, for they came up with, now watch verse 5, they came with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they, that mean the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the people from the east, three different groups came, were without number, innumerable. You can't even count how many folks came against them. Right at harvest time. Some of you said one trial on top of the other one. I got my check and it went 27 different ways. I didn't get to pay one bill. Everything was. And you can't figure it out because you live and saved. You can't figure it out because you was a tither. God, why you ain't rebuking the devourer for my sake? You ain't dealt with the strife. They came up. There's been a 7-year strife thing. Okay, let me just go on. Let me just go on flow. I had to teach some other time. Watch this. Watch verse 5. And they entered into the land for what purpose? They came to destroy. The devil come for what? So you know this ain't God, don't you? I'm trying to tell you, there are some assignments. There are some demons on assignment. Have you ever noticed how things go smooth and you get right to a threshold of a next level and all kind of stuff come against you? Oh, you be wondering what happened. Folk get mad. Folk get offended. Go to leaving the church. Folk just start, and then they start striking. They start lying and posting stuff and texting, tweeting, telling Instagram. You be like, what in the world? Where's all this foolishness? What trying to do? Trying to get you out the word and prayer, get you distracted and make you go chasing fires. You got your spiritual 911 hat on now. Now you the fire truck. Mm-hmm. And Israel was what? Greatly what? Impoverished. Watch this. The word impoverished means to be slackened, to be feebled, to be weakened, to be oppressed, to be brought low, to become dry. You was moist as rain. Now you're dry as sawdust. Watch this. It means to be emptied and it means to be unequal. The devil makes you feel like you don't measure up. You ain't equal to your challenge. You're not a worthy opponent. I heard folks say the devil is a worthy adversary. How is that when he's under your feet? How is that when, behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you? How is that when I give you power and authority over ALL demons to cast them out? How is he a worthy adversary? It's because we under lethargy and apathy. We in a backslidden state and we won't get ourselves in our consecration. If I'd have stayed with that text, Jesus said this kind of faith, this level of power is going to come forth by prayer and fasting. But we're in a time now when the generation don't even want to do it. That's why when you're on a fast, you ain't focused on the fast and you get distracted. Now y'all know me, I ain't got no kid gloves. Folk play game with church folk too long now. That's what's wrong with us. It's time for somebody to shoot straight from the hip and just let us know, hey man, it is what it is and it's not what it looks like. Hallelujah. Now if you messed up, if you ate a peach or whatever, repent and go ahead on. But if you told God you was going to fast on juice and water, then that's what you're fasting on. Hallelujah. And you're seeking the face of God. But it ain't about the juice and the water. It's about seeking God. It's about praying and seeking his faith. But what's wrong with us? We don't spend no time in prayer. We don't spend no time in the word. And we're trying to remember not to eat. That's why you're eating, because you forgot you was consecrating. But I came to tell you, we're in a season now when we got to turn that plate upside down, turn that cup over, cut the television off, cut the phone off. Listen, when you run a real fast, stop using your electronic media. You know why? Because it's a distraction. You're on that phone and you, oh, but that's so-and-so. I got to respond to that text. And now you texting for the next 20. 5, 30 minutes. And then they, well, go to my Facebook page. The next thing you know, 2 hours gone. You ain't praying no more. You, how'd that happen? I was reading the Bible. So get your old fashioned King James out and your yellow marker again. I'm just trying to get you. If you're gonna do this thing, let's do it. Call a solemn assembly. Folk come to church, and we came in here to pray for an hour. And I ain't never seen so many folks on their knees reading their Bible. We ain't come to read your Bible. All right. Watch this. They was greatly empowered because of the Midianites. Now here's what happened. They did what? They cried unto the Lord. That means they cried out for help. It's amazing how you put up with strife and mess for 7 years before you cry out. It's been 7 years. Now they're crying out to God. I'm trying to tell you, when you cry unto God, God's going to answer your cry. Oh, let's not wait 7 years any longer. Let's go ahead on and hook up with God now. Let's walk with him like Enoch. Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Let's walk with God on a daily basis. Let's commune with God intimately on a daily basis. You listen, the church is on a 21-day fast right now. Utilize it to set a brand new consecration in your life, that after this 21 days, you have an established personal dedication that you won't let go. Even though you'll be eating your meals, you'll still keep that prayer time, that Bible reading time, that meditation time. Your anointing won't diminish. 3 weeks after the 3 week fast, you back as dry as you used to be. That's a reproach. Then let the devil know, not this year. I've been through that. That cycle is broken in my life. When I come off this 21 day fast, devil, your kingdom gonna know I've been on one, because I'm going to carry an anointing. Look at Jesus. You don't read Jesus fasting 40 days and 40 nights, but one time. But he got up a great while before day. He stayed all night in prayer. He walked in the dedication after the consecration, and he shook the kingdom of darkness. He shook up the powers of hell. And look at here. The man prayed with such authority that one day when he got through praying, oh boy, said, Lord, teach us to pray. John disciples pray. Pharisees pray. We prayerless. Teach us to pray. He didn't say, teach us how to pray. He said, teach us to do it. We got some folk in the church, hallelujah, they know to pray, they just don't do it. Y'all think I'm just talking. A friend of mine live in Pennsylvania. He called me, Sister Elaine. He said, listen, man, I've been up here 2 years, and I've been laboring and laboring and laboring. I need a revival, and this church is broke. He said, we can't send you no plane ticket, and I can't put you in no hotel, but I need a revival. I said, all right, I'm going to buy me and Jesse a plane ticket, and we're going to fly up there. And I said, we'll stay with you. He said, well, you can stay in my house, but I ain't got no furniture either. I said, well, then bless God, get an air mattress. Hallelujah. We got an air mattress, Brother Earl. Roll up in that big old 10-room house, and I took the whole bottom floor for a prayer chamber. Walked the floor. This was back in 08. And I want you to know, glory be to God, after the third night, it broke. See, he was a teacher. He had been there teaching that word line upon line, and they acted like they wouldn't get it. Well, I bought that hammer up in there. Hallelujah. And we started hitting that thing, and you know what happened? He planted, I watered, and God gave the increase. All of a sudden, I didn't know what was going on. I heard folks say, Pastor, we got it, we got it. And I'm thinking, what they talking about? He said, man, I've been preaching, teaching that for 2 years. He said, you came in here and preached it for 3 days and it broke loose. What happened was, he had took a church that looked like a Protestant independent church, but everybody in the church were ex-Catholics. So they don't pray. They talk to the man in the booth. He do the praying. They pray. What are we going to pray for? He didn't understand that when he got there, see? So he couldn't get these folk to pray. How many know you got to commune with God, baby? Prayer is the unbiblical cord. You got to hook up. So I want you to understand, when they finally got a hold to it, his church took off. Hallelujah. Next time he called me, he said, I'm sending you and your wife a round trip ticket. I'm putting y'all in the Hampton Inn. Watch it. And I'm going to feed y'all at my restaurant. Hallelujah. The church done bought the restaurant. Everything broke loose. I'm trying to get you to understand, all things are possible with God, and all things are possible to him that believe. But the man said, listen here, he didn't do like some dumb churches. Well, we can't afford no revival. He said, look at here, I'm broke, but I need a revival. Come. And that's what I'm trying to tell you. Because I mean, no real revival ain't never been about money, no way. Hallelujah. But it'll produce it. You got there. I ain't crazy. It takes money to take the gospel, but that can't be your reason for going. If y'all can't give me this much, I can't come. If I gotta come up there and I, what? You can't put me in a suite. You can't put, what? Ain't no jacuzzi in my, what? I gotta, I am, ooh, I have a jacuzzi, huh? Honey, I can recommend a little booger that's just getting started. He don't mind. He'll drive. But no, the devil is a lie. Come on. You got to have some kingdom purpose. And your kingdom purpose will reveal your kingdom authority, will release your kingdom anointing, and it'll do something for the king and his kingdom. Hallelujah. That's when the king will reward you. Let me try to get back to this now. I really ain't never left it. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the strife, because of the Midianite, because of the enemy, because of the pressure, because of the... Now, you got to understand, this is a host of folks. I mean, they so outnumbered, they intimidated. God told me that this devil came, he totally expected a full surrender from Israel because he had them so outnumbered, they couldn't even count the camels that came with them. So, I mean, you brought them many camels in tents, you came to stay a while. You come to take over something. You come to take the territory. You come to dispossess them. You want to drive them out. But God, watch this, that the Lord sent what? A prophet. Now notice where the prophet went. The prophet went unto the children of Israel. The prophet went unto the whole nation. The prophet went to, if it's a church, the prophet came to the whole congregation. And see, folk don't like that. I thought you was going to call me out and tell me something. Okay, I'm calling you out and I'm telling you, believe God. No. Here's what I want you to understand. They've been in this mess for 7 years. The prophet shows up with a word they don't really want to hear. The prophet said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt. I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppress you. And you oppressed again now. And I drove them out from before you. And I gave you land. And I said to you, I'm the Lord your God. Fear not the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. You know what that word right there did? That word called them to repentance. See, they crying out for help. But the prophet showed up and said, your help gonna come when you get this out the way. See, the Bible says repent that you may be converted when time the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So the prophet showed up and dropped a word, and that word called them to drop on their face and cry out to God and turn back to God and repent for disobeying God and repent for getting back under what he brought them out of. The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage wherewith Christ hath delivered you from. But all of a sudden, while that was happening, then in the midst of their crying out, God had a man in their midst all the time. The prophet left and there came an angel. How many know an angel ain't nothing but a messenger? But this is a real angel from heaven of the Lord and sat up under an oak tree. Why did the angel go sit up under the tree? He knew Gideon's path. That pertained unto Joash, the Abizrite, the son and his son Gideon. Gideon's name means a hewer. Now watch this. He threshed wheat by the wine press for to do what? That means he's reaping, but he hiding his harvest. You know why he's hiding it, don't you? Because they destroying everything. Gideon, like, I gotta eat, man. I gotta make it. I see all them folk out there, but I'm gonna hide my stuff from they. No, when they leave here, I'm gonna have some. How many know it ain't God's will for us to be hiding nothing from the enemy? It's time. Okay, watch what your Bible says. He prepares a table before me where? In the presence of the enemy. Now let me ask you this. When your mama prepared a table, what's the next thing you hear? Come and get it. Come on here. Come and eat. Well, but, mama, it's five boys in there that don't like me and they stand in front of the table. What they got to do with it? I said, come eat. Cause you know what I know? If you got a mama like my grandma, them five boys ain't going to do nothing. So he with you and in their faith, he said, I want them to see you eat. God gonna stand there at the table and let your enemy see you partake of the best of the land. I came to tell you, we're in a time now when God gonna let your enemy live long enough to see you succeed. He gonna let your hater live long enough to see you succeed. You gonna pop to the top anyway. You just gotta have some faith. I'm trying to tell you all things are possible to them that believe. You got to believe God and stop just talking and step out in faith and act on it in the face of the devil. Let the devil know, boo, I ain't scared of you. The angel appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor, mighty man of strength, mighty man of courage. Do y'all know that valor is the Hebrew word kail, which is the Lord of wealth, the God of abundance. It means that you got forces, you got strength, you got resources. What? I'm hiding this little bit over here from the enemy and you calling me kail? You telling me I got abundance? How many didn't know Jesus became poor for your sake, that you through his poverty might be made rich. In the eyes of God, you are Kyle, baby. When God look at you, he don't see welfare. He sees Kyle. He sees wealth. He sees the abundance. When God look at you, he don't see anemic. He sees strength. Hallelujah. He don't see some little poor, broke, busted, disgusted, can't be trusted. God look at you, he see ability and activity. He don't want you hiding. You better call yourself what God call you. You mighty man of value. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord. Did you notice what happened right there? The case just changed. It was all capital letters. And he bought, oh my Lord. He done bought that on down. Then watch it go back up. If the Lord be with you, see what I'm saying? So he realized he's talking to the angel, but he said, now listen, if Elohim, if Yod Hey Vav Hey, if Jehovah really be with us, then why is all this happening? If God with me, why my last quarter was so far in the red? If God told me to do this business, where all the clientele at? God told me to raise up this church. Where are the people? I don't preach to all these empty chairs. Where the folk at? I mean, is this really God? And then you always got a preacher that show up. If God is in it, and you've been there 2 years, and you got 10 folks, shut it down. It ain't God. And then there you go. Well, maybe it ain't God, you know. You fool, go get you a job. I think that's God. Let me go see. Well, I think all things are possible to him that believe, but you better know whose voice you heard before you get to acting. See, you better know whose voice you heard. Because Paul said there's many voices out here. The devil's always trying to destroy. He's trying to trip you up. If I can make you vacillate, I can stop you. Come on now. He said, man, if God be with us, what's happening? And where be all his miracles? Why, if God for us, why he ain't doing nothing miraculous? Which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. You was in the hand, but God didn't forsake you. And what's God? The Lord looked, that's that word upon him, got right in his face, upon him and said, go in this thy might. What? Did God not hear what he just said? God just like, go in your might, go in your strength, go in your vigor, go in your force, go in your substance. Watch this. Go in your wealth. Then we just read that they were mightily impoverished. That ain't how God saw them. In the natural, we know they were impoverished. In the natural, this multitude was taking their stuff. But God said, I know what I gave you, and it's already given, and I ain't taking it back. So you go in your strength, you go in your wealth, you go in your abundance, you go in your influence. And I'm going to show you Gideon had influence we don't know he had. And you're going to save, you're going to deliver, you're going to rescue Israel from the hand of strife. Have I not sent thee? How many of God sent you, he went with you? He said to him, oh my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? See, listen, stop counting yourself out. If God say you can, how you going to tell God he lying? Lord, you missed it. How I'm going to save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. That settles the deal right there. And thou shalt smite, watch this, the Midianites. How? Did you get your mind wrapped around that? Did your head catch what you just said? So many camels, they can't count them. So many people, they can't count them. And he tell you with your nervous self, you're going to whoop them like one man. Now, see, you believe you can whoop one girl. If me and one girl, I got a chance. If it's just one dude, I think I can take him. So he said, you're going to whoop all them like they're just one little man. What is God doing? God is studying. Faith come by and hearing by. See, God did not get on his doubt plane. God kept talking power. Vigor, valor, kaiel, authority. God keeps, see, God's going to bring you up. I'm telling you, God give you more on your way. He said, listen here. Whew, if I found grace in your sight, give me a sign that you talking to me. Give you a sign that you talking to me. Wait a minute, Anthony. Wait a minute. Just say anything. I don't care what you say. Just say something. If you really say it, then give me a sign. Now that's just dumb, ain't it? I'm talking to the man, looking at the man face to face. He say something. If you're really talking to me, could you give me a sign? We laughing at Gideon, but that's how we do, Lord, if that's really you. Now, Jesus, I don't want to be out here tripping, God. I gotta make sure it's you, because I don't want to be messing up, because you know so-and-so said he heard the Lord, and they got divorced, and so-and-so, and he lost his job. So, Lord, if this is really you, don't let me be out here. See, we got to get sure that we're hearing God. You on a 21-day fast right now. If you don't do nothing else, amen, fine-tune your ear to the voice of God. I'm not talking about this one either. I'm talking about your spirit. Get your spirit together. If you have to go to 28 days, and all, Lord, I want to be sure I'm hearing you. I can't live the rest of this year guessing and wondering, is God talking to me or not? Because you don't never hear no saint come talking about, Sister Lang, could you pray and help me believe whether or not this is the devil talking to me? No, they'll tell you everything the devil said. Well, the devil told me to shoot him, and the devil told me to kill him. I'm telling you, my sister, a dude messed up on her one time, and I didn't see him for a while. And everybody liked him. You know, I thought they was going to get married. He was a good one. And then I said, where he at? And she said, I don't care where he at. She said, I caught him cheating on me, and I was going to shoot him, but the Lord told me not to. I said, thank the Lord. I was like, thank God she heard the Lord. She wasn't living for him, but she heard him. And I said, yeah, you need to catch no case, and you got 3 kids. Come on now. And Lord, I was going to shoot him, and the Lord told me not to. I said, Lord, what's up with these tongue talkers that I know? They shot him. Anyway, y'all know some of them too. Watch this. If I found grace in your sight, show me a sign that you're talking with me. He ain't talking to God. He's talking to the angel that he's looking at. And depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come again. I'm going to tell you something. All this time, he think he been talking to another prophet. He think he been talking to another human being. He ain't realized this is an angel yet. The Bible tells you, be careful how you entertain strangers, because sometimes you entertain angels unaware. So watch this. He went and fixed the meal, and Gideon went in and made ready a kid, an unleavened cake of ephah flour, fresh, put in the basket, put them broth in the pot and brought it out unto him under the oak to present it. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cake, lay them upon the rock and pour the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cake. And there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cake. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. That's when Gideon, oh my God, I'm finna die. That was an angel. Skip that. Go to verse 24. Then Gideon did what? Built an altar right there unto now the Lord, and called it Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Under this day is yet there. Verse 25. And it came to pass when? When did it come to pass? The same night. What am I telling you? They've been bound up for 7 years. The boy gets a visitation today, and the night he gets an instruction. I'm trying to tell you, when God get to bring you out, it ain't going to take 7 years to bring you out of what you've been in. You done been through what you've been through long enough, but that season is over. And God said it's time for about face 10 hut forward march. Come on, it's time for the new orders now, and God's about to raise you up. This is the year you coming out. This is the year you gonna overcome. You've been under attack for 7 years, but this is the year you overcoming. This is the year you gonna pop to the top. You're gonna look at the devil like a little school kid and say, nah, 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 nah. I got you now, buddy. I'm on top now. What are we gonna do now? You got okay. Watch this. It came to pass that night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years is old, and throw down, wonder why he got that one, the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by. Now wait a minute, ain't this the same boy that said they daddy taught them about the miracles of God? What daddy doing with a Baal altar? What daddy doing with the grooves of Baal? See, that done got around here. Your mentors is in a backslid state. My wife will tell you, the men that stirred my life to the core, they backslid. But I ain't backsliding. I told God the devil is a lie. They got divorced. I ain't getting divorce. You got to make a decision. Praise God. How are the mighty fallen? But I ain't going to be one. Well, if they can't stand, who am I? You better understand who you are and to whom you belong. That's what you better do. Cut it down. Cut down that old groove next to it. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock. Oh, Jesus. In the ordered place. And take the second bullock. Offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the groove. You hear that? Tear the devil's altar down and take his wood and use it to burn my sacrifice. Let the devil know, you ain't pushing me around no more. I'm busting up your stuff and I'm burning up your altar while I sacrifice to my God. Yeah, you've been scared to pay your tithe. You let the devil know, now I'm paying my tithe. And I was in Connecticut and I preached a message and pastor called me, Sister Elaine. He said, Prophet Ford, you ain't going to believe this. I said, what? He said, man, you left here. He said, my tithes and offerings the Sunday you left was triple. He said, but I got notes and letters on my desk right now. Folk done figured up they back tithe and they said they paying their back tithe. That triple the income of the church with no new membership. Come on now. No pledges, no building fund drive. Just the fear of God. The eyes coming open. I came to tell you, oh, this is going to be a great year. That's why you need them three warfare series. You got to be in position. Let the devil know, I ain't digging no hole. I ain't running this time. I'm facing going to be a face off. Come on, let the monkey know. We going head to head this year. Watch this. Gideon took the 10 men of his servant. What? He did what? No, not the man who said he the least, ain't got nothing. And you got folks, you got servants, but you're so scared, you acting like you ain't got nothing. He took 10 servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. When did he do it? That night. And did as the Lord had said unto him, and so it was because he feared his father's household and the men of the city that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. You see, now here's what I'm trying to get you to understand. God is speaking, faith is coming, but there's still some fear here. So I'm operating because of fear. I'm like Nick, I'm coming at night, but I'm coming. Come on now. I'm trying to tell you, God going to give you more on the way. You're going to keep going, Sister Gwen. It's going to come a day when you can say, forget that midnight thing. Let's do the thing in daybreak. Let's go and rise. It's sunrise now. Come on here. Let the devil know we're going to have a shootout at the OK Corral in the daytime. I ain't going to fight you at night no more because night is your spot. I'm bringing the day. Hallelujah. Watch this now. And the Bible says he did it. He couldn't do it. He did it. Verse 31. And Joash, everybody said, we got to kill Gideon. His daddy stood up and said, no. What you pleading for Baal for? If he be a god, let him plead for himself. Uh-huh. If he be God, let him plead for himself because one have cast down his altar. Verse 33. Now then the devil going to make a move. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east, that's that multitude, them Gugab, the folks out there, together went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. Now that's where they made a mistake. Jezreel means where God sows. Now you've been messing with what I sowed. Now you're messing with God's harvest. And God ain't scared of you. And he's working on me and I ain't scared of you like I used to be. But watch the next verse. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And watch this scared man. Blew a trumpet with Abiezer and gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh and gathered after him the messengers of Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali. And they came up and Gideon said, okay, now all these folks that came to him, he got an anointing on him, but he ain't settled his faith yet. Now, he asked the angel, if you're talking with me, give me a sign. Now, Lord, I'm just trying to show you God give you more on your way. Your faith grows. Paul told the Thessalonians, your faith grows exceedingly. He's operating in what, remember I said, I believe, help my unbelief. He's operating in the faith he got, and he's wobbling in the unbelief, but God's working on the unbelief. As you keep using what faith you got, the unbelief and the fear is so slowly waning away. See, you don't wait till it's all gone. That's how you get rid of it. The more you act on the word, the stronger your faith gets. Watch this now. He said, Lord, listen here. If you're going to save Israel, you're going to deliver Israel, you're going to rescue Israel by my hand. And you got to understand, the enemy just moved, right? So what I'm telling you is, all this God is doing behind the scenes, the enemy's still in his face by day. He see that multitude ain't went nowhere. So they moved in and Gideon said, Lord, if you're going to save them by my hand, behold, I'm going to put this fleece of wool on the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece of wool only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that you're going to do this thing what you said by my hand. In verse 38, and it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed it out, and the fleece or bowl full of water. So God did that night. And then Gideon said unto God, let not your heart be angry. Don't get upset with me. I'm going to speak but this once. Sound like Abraham, don't it? Let me prove, I pray thee, this one. He said, I got to know that. I know that. I got to know this one. No fluke. This really is God. But the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece. Now I don't advocate putting out fleeces for you, because you fear with the Holy Ghost. Gideon wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. He was in fear, and God's working to bring him out of it. You got the Holy Spirit. You better not put out no fleece. Fleeces are in the natural arena, and the devil will fleece you. When you was a little baby Christian, just got saved a few weeks, God winked at that. But now, 20 years later, he ain't going for that. I just thought I need to tell you that before you leave here saying, well, God, if that's you. Chapter 7. Now, God did that. Watch how the verse starts. Then Zerubbabel, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him did what? They got up early that morning. You know why? He fired up, man. God's talking to me. Angel done talked to me. I'm seeing victory. I done told Baal's altar down and I done offered a sacrifice to God. And God done showed me that he with me. But now he still got a little fear, but it's getting less and less. Faith is rising on your way. The more you do, you know, every time God tell you to build something and you ain't got no, you just got enough money to lay the foundation. And you say, well, bless God, Lord. I tell you what I'm going to do. One man of God, this is what he did. Brother Brett, he had his deacons to get a bulldozer and bring a whole pallet full of bricks and set it up on the platform. And every Sunday, he would take a brick off and go build him a little wall. He said, if I got to do it a brick at a time, if God give me enough bricks and enough days, I'm going to get it done. And with that little image going on, them folk rose up and they got that thing built because the bank told them, we ain't going to loan you no money to do it. We think it's an ambitious project. He said, I ain't come for no advice. I came for some money. They wouldn't give him no money. He said, I'm going to build it. I'm going to let you watch me build it. And after I succeed, I'm going to punish you for my success. He built the building. Matter of fact, he did 2 5,000 seat auditorium debt free. And when he got both of them built, he told every member he had, take your money out that bank. Let them know now they didn't need us, we don't need them. They switched banks. They don't mess with him no more. The last time he bought something, he said, Reverend, can we finance that for you? No, I don't need you now. I'm telling you, listen, we done changed kingdom. It's time to change systems now. God's going to take us somewhere. I don't care what you say. Watch this. He said, then they rose up, all the Midianites on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel vaunt, boast, brag on themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now that don't make sense to me when I understand you can't count the folk that's against them. I can count Gideon's folk. He ain't got but 32,000. But God said, you got too many. You know why? Gideon's confidence level is coming up. And he said, I don't want these folk, hey man, to go out here. But watch this. He said, you got too many folk for me to do it for you. I don't know about you. If with God all things are possible, I'm going to stay with it so God can do it for me. Watch this. I'm good. Appreciate it. I don't need it. Watch this. Now therefore, go proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is what? Fearful and? So they ain't the same, huh? Let him return and depart, what? Early. Get him on out here quick. See, you trying to hold a crowd. God said, let them folk go. They fearful. They're afraid. They're scared. How many left? How many left? How many left? Thank you. Somebody reading their Bible. They returned to the people 22,000. 22,000 left him. And the Lord said, the people that are yet too many. Wait a minute, God. We outnumbered. We can't even count the numbers. We don't even know how we outnumber. We could be outnumbered 10,001. We don't even know it's so many of them. And you telling me I got too many folks. You just took 2/3 of my people. Watch Gideon. He don't say none of that. You know why? His faith is coming up. His confidence is in God, not in his army. He walking with God. God said, you got too many. He said, y'all go home. He said, watch this. He said, bring them down to the water and I'm going to try them. God said, let me try them. For thee there. I'm going to test them for you. I'm going to show you what's really in them. And it shall be of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee. That's what you ought to underline. The one that God say, that's who you want to go with you. Not the one who say I'm with you, but who did God say going to go with you. This shall go with thee. The same. And listen, they didn't come tell him. God told him who to take. This shall go with thee. The same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee. The same shall not go. Do you have enough confidence in God? Right. To tell the folk that God said, can't go no further with you. They came this far. God said, this is the end of your journey. God, you're released. Y'all know when I first came to Camden in 1987, I had a man with me, anointed man. The next year, God told me to loose him and let him go. I said, huh? He said, yeah. He can't go with you no further. I done took him all across, all road out everywhere. I told him January that year, we was on the consecration, going to hear a man of God. I said, you know that scripture in Genesis where it said God separated the waters from the waters? I said, God showed me that scripture. And he said, we both Christians, but he's separating the Christian from the Christian, the preacher from the preacher. I said, you won't be able to travel with me this year. Well, pride rose up. He said, well, yeah, God already told me. He didn't know. His brother called me a month later and told me how tore up he was. It hurt him. I couldn't be trying to spare his feelings and obey God too. Now, I told him in the nicest way I could, but I wasn't apologizing for telling him. And watch this. He ain't never been back. No, because God didn't tell me to bring him back. See, I'm trying to tell you, you can't. See, have you ever built a building? Sometimes when you're building, you use scaffolds, right? Well, when you get to building, it's dedication day. The scaffolds going to still be out there. Did you pimp the scaffolds out and mistreat them? They serve their purpose, right? There are some people that are for the first leg that ain't for the last leg, but we like to hold on to everybody. Everybody ain't qualified to go all the way. And I ain't talking about you throwing away people. I'm talking about hearing from God. Learning how to let them go. Notice I said learning because I had to learn how to let them go. Watch this. So they did it. They brought them down to the water. Verse 6. And the number of them that lapped put in their hand to their mouth were 300. But all of the rest of the people, 9,700, bowed down upon their knees. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go, every man to his place. So the people took victuals, they ate, got their trumpets, and they left. Now, do you know what it didn't say? They picked up their swords, their spears, their shields, and their helmets. God never intended for them to fight this battle man to man. Watch this. Verse 9. And it came to pass when? Look at God. God be working this thing, man. God did something in the morning. Tonight, we're going to go do some stuff. I'm trying to tell you, this is your season. This is your time. That's why I got the series on. Is your mind prepared for war? That's why I got the series out there. Hallelujah, on the demon that's coming against you. That's why I got the series on close the hole in your soul. We got to get ready now. God told me to get you ready the first 90 days of the year, to take it the last 9 months. It's your year, it's your hour. Get yourself together and let the devil know it's on. Hallelujah. And don't be waiting around. Get in position. When you go to the military, in about 8 weeks, they got you battle ready. You was a country boy, used to killing squirrels, rabbits, bears, raccoons, and 8-point bucks. In 8 weeks, you ready to be shot at. You've been shooting, and in 8 weeks, you was a soldier, ready to go out and be shot at. That was a paradigm shift, baby. And it didn't take no long time to get you there. We in the army of the Lord as a call back to boot camp. That's some special forces training finna go on the first 90 days of this year. And you off to a good start. Let the devil know I'm not defaulting and I'm not going AWOL. You know, some folk go AWOL. That's absent without leave. Anybody release you, just took off. Now watch this. That night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down to the host. Why? For it means because I have delivered into your hand. But watch this. But if you what? If you fear to go, take your buddy with you. If you're afraid to go, get Bo. Take Bo with you. No, here's what I'm telling you. We've been watching Gideon's faith rise, right? He at the point of his time to attack. But there's still a little fear left. And notice, Gideon don't bring it up. God does. God said, this is what I want to do. But if you still got a little reservation, because you can't go against the enemy with hesitating. You got to be ready. My grandson played football. He can tell you, raise your head up and healthy on that front line if you want to. You wish you hadn't. Watch this. He said, if you're scared, take Bo with you and go down to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterwards shall thine hand be what? Strengthened, strong, fortified, established to go down. In other words, after you hear this, your faith going to maximize. Ain't going to be no more fear in you. Ain't going to be no more doubt. You're going to be ready to go get them. And how many know? He down to 300 folk with him. So all things is possible with God. Because 300 men against an innumerable host is no kind of odd. You want to go to fight. I don't care if you got 300 Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris. Come on here. You ain't trying. If you had 300 Samsons, maybe. No. He said, then your hand going to be strengthened. Then when he down with Bo, he took Bo. See, he wasn't there yet. He ain't let no pride pop up. Oh, no, Lord, I got this. No, Bo, let's go. He went outside and watched this. The Midianites, the Amalekites and the children of the east lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. The camels were without number. Why did God bring that back up? He letting you know, I brought this boy to a faith level that masses don't even move him no more. I brought him to a level of faith. Everything that was going on is still going on, but Gideon's heart is not wimpy. It ain't feeble. It ain't weak no more. You still behind. Bills still past due. You still got a mortgage, but you about to rise up with resolve and begin to speak to that mortgage and command debt cancellation. You're about to speak to that empty calendar and command contracts to come, because economic authority is upon your life, and you got so much entrepreneurial favor, you're going to put a bid in and everybody going to come around and you still going to get the bid. And watch this, and you ain't got the bid beneath your worth. And going in. Well, I think we can do it for $200,000. And you know it's a $400,000 job. No. You got value, baby. Watch this. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellows and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it, and it fell and overturned it, and the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else except the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand have God delivered Midian and all the host. Wait a minute. The enemy at private, when you ain't can't hear him, is over there confessing, we can't beat Gideon. God done delivered us into Gideon's hand. But see, when the Christians don't know, but God had to let you hear what the enemy really said. See, you said, we just like grasshoppers in their sight. No, no, no. That ain't how they feel. They say, y'all giants. Y'all stronger. You can take them. That's why the devil trying to put a gag order on the church now. Because he know when you get the name of Jesus in your mouth and the word of God in your mouth and out of your belly flow rivers of living water, there's an anointed on you. See, Gideon's got an anointing. When your faith level comes up to meet your anointing by faith and power, you're about to bring deliverance like you ain't never bought before. I came to tell you, there's an entrepreneur anointing that's going to kick in, and you're going to have faith to walk in it. And you'll walk into a board and negotiate it, a board meeting, or where they got to negotiate for something, and you'll walk up in there like, hey, listen here, I can do that for you. I did the research, looked at it. I can get it done for 1.5. You ain't got to go, well, we could probably get it done for $750,000. No. Other folks that already bid it. What you going in there acting like you don't know? My cousin, he's a great builder. He told me, he said, cousin, I ain't trying to be known for having the cheapest price in town. He said, I'm going to be known for having the best work ever did. You can't beat it. That's what you're going to know me for. If I did the job, it's going to last. See, price is only an issue in the absence of value. And it was so when Gideon, what? Heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation of, what did he do? Booger went into worship. God's going to give you a revelation that's going to cause your worship to rise. You've been lulling, but I'm trying to tell you, God's going to let you hear a thing that's going to cause you to worship. And when you worship, he returned to the host of Israel and said, arise, the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of the Midianites. Now his anointing is maximized. His so much faith and enthusiasm and authority behind his words. These 300 folks believe they can whoop all these folk out here. Why? Because God delivered and we ain't got to fight. Now you heard the enemy say it was a sword of Gideon, didn't you? Now watch Gideon. He divided the 300 men into three companies and put the trumpet in every man's hand. Put a what? And an empty pitcher and a lamp within the pitcher. And he said unto them, look on me, do likewise. Behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall you do. When I blow a trumpet, and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpet, and also every side of the camp, and say, the sword of who? The Lord. I'm trying to tell you, Gideon, no, I ain't got no sword. I got a trumpet and a lamp, but God's got a sword. I came to tell you, a sword demands hand to hand. God is trying to tell you, in this hour, I'm about to release a ruach. There's a wind of my spirit that's about to blow with you, you bring your faith level up and believe me, you're going to know that with me all things are possible. The biggest challenge you could ever have, you can't even count this. What's the biggest project that's been intimidating you? What's the biggest situation? The biggest job? What is it that's been intimidating you? The biggest mountain? God says, speak to the mountain and don't doubt about it. He said, the biggest massive army came. They expected you to surrender, to cow down, but no, faith rose up. As you went out, faith came along with that anointing. And now by faith and anointing, you're getting ready to watch God show himself strong on your behalf. All things are possible to him that believe. With God, nothing shall be impossible. If you look in the natural, it is absolutely ludicrous for 300 men to go against an army this big. They can make the camel stampede and kill them, but not when God is in the picture. I came to tell you that job that intimidated you, go beat it again. Come on here. Let the devil know, not this year. I ain't backing up. I'm going out there like I got some value. I got skill. My work is worthy. My work is good as anybody else. It's probably better than most. And I'm not going to sit around here like I can't do that. Well, brother, I ain't got the equipment. You can rent it. If the job paying that much, you can rent the equipment. That's what a farmer do. He go rent a combiner. But he don't get that wheat out the field. They rose up. And the 300 men, they went out there, verse 20. The 300 companies blew with the trumpet and break the pitchers and held up the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hand to blow. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood up every man in his place round about the camp. Watch this. And all the host ran and cried and fled. 300 men ran off an innumerable number. Don't you know what kind of anointing was on that trumpet when they blew it? Don't you know what kind of an anointing was upon them men? That anointing that was on Gideon got on all of them. And when they lift their voice, that anointing sounded. When they cried the sword of the Lord, they didn't hear 300. They heard 300 million. You know, remember them four lepers started marching. They thought the army was coming. I'm telling you, with God, all things are possible. And it's time for us to elevate our faith by getting in the word. Enlarge your capacity to believe and then fill it with faith and watch God do a thing. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Say, Lord, I believe I'm undefeatable. I accept your word. With you, nothing that you tell me to do is impossible. Every dream, every vision, every commission that you give me, I will, by your grace and faith therein, bring it to fruition. It shall be accomplished, and it shall be done in a timely manner, and I will prosper as I do it. I thank you. No enemy, no foe, no demon, no human can stop me from accomplishing your will for my life, because I choose to yoke up with you, and with you all things are possible. Now praise him for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Lord, we love you. God, we praise you. We magnify you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. What you believe in God for? Now, if you wasn't in the first service and you're here and you're an entrepreneur, I want you to come to the altar. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Any entrepreneurs that were not in the first service, I want you to come. You can be seated. And while you take your seat, the Lord told me to challenge this church, the membership of this church, to sow $1,000 over and above your regular tithes and offerings into this church for storehouse. Brother Jerry ain't started no storehouse plan, but I asked him this morning to start a storehouse account So when you decide to put it in there, write storehouse on the check, on the envelope, so they'll know that you're giving it for storehouse purposes. And that's over and above. Do not diminish the economy of this church. What you've been giving, keep giving it. Entrepreneurs told me to tell you to do 1,200 each year, over and above what you've been giving for storehouse. What I didn't say in the first service is it's going to make up for the continual deficits and red quarters you've been having in your house. And you're going to begin to have surplus. And some of you, he told me that you've gotten well up in age and have done nothing for your retirement. And over the next 3 years, this $1,000 seed each year, this $3,000 seed is going to be like the principal investment, but it's going to increase at his level of interest, not at the world's level. Thank you, Jesus. What you do, brother? What kind of business you in? Okay, I was say, you kind of, you couldn't figure it out. What you do? I might need to see you before I leave town. Lift your hand. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I release. Let me ask you this while I'm praying for him. If you want a copy of today's CD, lift your hand so they'll know how many to make. I see. Keep your hand up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I see you back there. 10, 11, 12.
Also want to announce that Freedom Training starts at 4 o'clock tonight for those of you who are being trained for freedom. And that Brother Ford will be back here again tonight. And this is a powerful, powerful word from God.
Thank you. I release the anointing of entrepreneur favor upon you. God, let him be sought out by people that he didn't even knew that he did what he does. In the name of Jesus. And I release economic authority upon him from this very day in Jesus' name. God, by the power of your word, Lord, I release economic favor and economic authority, entrepreneurial favor upon this couple. God, let their business go to a whole nother level. Let it go to where he had to hire somebody to help him meet the needs of all his clients. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. God, by the power of your anointing, I release entrepreneurial favor upon her and economic authority. And I thank you, Father, for new clients and new money consistently. In the name of Jesus, I release entrepreneurial favor and economic authority upon you in Jesus' name. By the power of the Holy Ghost, I release entrepreneurial favor and economic authority upon you from Shaba Urubahaya. Thank you, Jesus. God, by the power, oh my, of the Holy Ghost, I release entrepreneurial favor and economic authority upon her. Let a new grace be upon her life in Jesus' name. I see new ideas coming to you. Thank you, Lord. God, by the power of your word, let entrepreneurial favor and economic authority reign in her life. Use her for your glory in Jesus' name. God calls her to become an asset to the kingdom by way of entrepreneurial favor and economic authority. Let her dominate in her arena. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Let me slip back. Father God, I thank you for this precious one. In the name of Jesus, I release entrepreneurial favor and economic authority upon her. God, let her rise to a place of dominion in her field in Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for this precious one. Ooh, I don't know what you do, but I see God going to join two people with you to help you. Thank you, Jesus. Entrepreneurial favor shall rest upon you. And they're going to come in at your level. They ain't going to come in compromising your standard. Hallelujah. And they're going to work with you, not pull against you. Entrepreneurial favor and economic authority rest upon you now. Father, thank you for this brother. I release the anointing of wealth favor upon him. Let him experience entrepreneurial favor and economic authority like never before. open his eyes, God. Let him walk therein and communicate it to others in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. God, thank you for my brother. I release entrepreneurial favor upon him, and I decree economic authority to rise upon him, God. Let such a favor be upon him, God, that they'll let him hear time and time again. I don't know why I chose you, but we're going to give you the job. We're going to give you the bid. You're going to get the contract. God, let the favor of God be upon him in Jesus' name. Lord, I release the favor of God upon this woman, and I decree entrepreneurial favor and economic authority to rest upon her life in Jesus' name. Father, by the power of a miracle, I release the anointing of economic authority upon her. Grant her entrepreneurial favor in an unprecedented way. God, and let her see such increase that she had to add on. She had to hire new people, God, because the business is coming. God, let them cross county line looking for her. Let her name go out throughout four counties, God. In Jesus' name. Father, influence. I hear the word influence, daughter. A new influence is going to be upon you. I release entrepreneurial favor and economic authority upon you now in Jesus' name. Ideas, concepts, and insights, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of that you do and how to meet the needs of people is going to come so alive in you. I see advertising aid coming to you. Thank you, Jesus, to help you promote your business. The favor of God is going to be upon you, and economic authority shall reign. God, for your glory. For your glory, God. Triple her income for your glory. Entrepreneurial favor and economic authority be upon you now. God, you know his journey. You know his battle. But for your glory, open the doors, grant him the contracts and the opportunities. I release entrepreneurial favor upon him and command economic authority to rise up in him in Jesus' name. God, thank you for this brother. And I decree in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that entrepreneurial favor and economic authority will rise and reign for the glory of the King in Jesus' name. God, I thank you for my brother. I thank you, God, that you'll use him dual, secular and in the kingdom, God. And I thank you that he'll meet the needs of people by the grace and the power of God. Let him experience a new level of favor, God. I release entrepreneurial favor upon him. And I decree economic authority to rest upon him. But brother, I see a fresh wind blowing in your life, a fresh anointing, a new breath of God. Ruach, Kakarash, the Holy Ghost, fresh. You anointed to win, not just in one arena. In every arena, every walk that God puts you in, there's an anointing for victory, man. Watch what I tell you. This is a year. Watch what I tell you. I see three fluent streams flowing into your life. Hallelujah. Three streams of income. Watch what I tell you. You're going to be meeting the needs of people, and it's going to create three fluent, constant flowing stream that's not going to take you out of worship, not going to take you out of the business for the King and his kingdom. And it's not going to stress you out. God's going to give you a wisdom. Hallelujah. And he's going to give you the assistance. The Aaron and hers are come. When the time comes, they'll be there in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Listen, brother. Just a Hammond series. I have several series. Praise the Lord. What was you at? Oh, you tipped out on me. Put your hands up. What you do? Stretch your hand toward her. God, she's standing in the gap for her mama. In the name of Jesus, let your healing virtue go to her mother right now. I curse every spirit of infirmity arrayed against her mother in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your mama spirit filled? Holy Spirit, you live in her. Quicken her mortal body right now by the power. power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in her mother. Let that power flow through her body, quickening, making it full of life. In Jesus' name, I decree it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Listen, while I'm talking about these series, if you will help us with our television ministries, you'll sow seed to help us with our airtime. Lift your hand, Brother Jesse, Brother Earl, or bring you an envelope. Amen. You can turn it in while I'm here. You can mail it to us in a week or two. Praise the Lord. And just sow. And make sure you circle TV on the envelope so when it comes in, they'll know where to put it. Listen, my wife is letting this book go for $10. And a brother said, man, that's a good book. It's by Miles Monroe. Discover the leader you were meant to be. Becoming a leader. Amen. A powerful book. Praise the Lord. That'll be a blessing to you. Amen. To help you become the leader you were born to be. The spiritual warfare volumes. Amen. All three of them. Volume one, how to close the hole in your soul. I mean, you got to stop the influence of strife, stress, and offense is hitting you emotionally. Emotion is what the devil gets you. You know, the world call it, you're getting in your feelings. Amen. But you got to close that hole. Because if the devil can keep you in your feelings, feelings, even though they come out the soul, feeling is the voice of the body. If the body don't feel like it, you don't do it. You know, some people have learned how to press on. Have you ever noticed how when you didn't feel like doing something, you did it anyway, in about 20 minutes, you forgot you didn't feel like it? You got to learn how to take that's the difference in when you really know something is wrong, but you got to overcome that. Amen. Reason is the voice of the mind. You got to get past that. Amen. Witness, conscience, the voice of the spirit. You got to follow. So I'm preaching for the first three nights on close the hole in your soul. You got to do soul patrol. If you don't patrol your soul, you won't control your soul. The security guard patrols the perimeter to make sure that he walks through the building to make sure there's nothing left in there that's going to be detrimental. There's no leaks. Somebody can come in after hours. And we got to patrol our soul. You got to watch what you watch. Watch what you hear. Watch what you say. You got to watch your association because you pick up stuff from folk. I remember in 1987, God told me to separate myself from some ministers that I had been with for 5 years. And we was all preaching holiness and fasting 21 days at a time. And it all seemed good. But I cut my teeth on Dad Hagen. And I had got caught up with them and didn't even realize it. And then it took me 2 years to preach all the legalism out of my gospel and get it back pure again. So sometimes you get infiltrated and don't even realize it. Amen. And then volume two. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. The pressure's off of you now. The money is flowing the way it should. You've got good friends around you. You don't have to worry about haters and folk trying to rip you off. And then you quit praying. You get relaxed. The money's good. You're at peace. No stress on you. Your husband doing good. Y'all finally got a flow. And then you relax in the prayer chamber. No, stay up there. Woe to those that are at ease in Zion. And in this one, I reveal the three spirits that's coming against the body this year. The spirit of antagonism, the spirit of distraction, and the spirit of self-justification. You want to bind them and keep them in their place so you can get in yours. And then, is your soul prepared for war? It's four discs in here. Amen. I work on two nights asking the question, is your soul prepared? The next two, I teach you how to prepare your soul. Get it ready for war, because this is a war. We're in a war now. And let me tell you something about preparing for spiritual warfare. Make sure you include your extended family in your prayer covering. Even the cousins that's not saved, cover them with the blood, because the enemy wants to distract you. And when he can't get to you directly, and you know you're going to cover your husband, your children, your whatever, well, he tried to get the next group. Whatever will pull at your heart, cover them grandbabies. Make sure you cover, amen, your immediate family, but then cover your extended family, because it's a war. And the enemy is looking for captive he can use to negotiate for leverage. Amen. So be mindful, amen, to see Sister Ford and get you a copy of all three of those. Because I'm telling you, that's the message God has given me to offset some stuff for this year. And then draw near to God. Amen. That first 2 days, I talk about the authenticity of our Redeemer. I preach Jesus in a way that he haven't been preached in a while. Because we used to have a land full of Jesus preachers. Now everybody is deep and trying to show you how much they know. And you forgot about him. But he's still the sinner. He ain't just the reason for the season. He's the reason for living. So we got to understand that. Then I deal with Jehovah Gamol, the God of recompense. Some of you have got some money in accounts receivable that it's time to be released. There's some harvest out there for you. You've been sowing a long time. You've been giving what God told you to give. You've been doing your best to walk in love. And the enemy has built up reservoirs. And it's time for you to burst them. Amen. And so this is five messages in here that will really open the eye of your understanding. And then, you know, my favorite teacher, my wife and I did together on communication, sex, and money. Amen. If you know somebody that's dating, give it to them. If you know newlyweds, give it to them. If you're married, get you one. If you want to be married, get you one. No, I'm serious. This is the kind of stuff I listened to it periodically, and I was the one teaching it because it was revelation flowing. And I can listen to this and say, I need to come up. Because that's how the word of God is. You can't exhaust it. First time you heard it, you heard that. Next time you hear it, well, I didn't hear that. God meets you where you are. Sometimes where you at depends on what you can hear. But I'm telling you, this is teaching. We did 2 days on communication, one on sex, one on money, and all the questions and answers are in there. Amen. So we have a Q&A CD in there that you can listen to the questions that were asked and the answers that were given. We'll be back tonight. Back tonight at 5 o'clock. I've been in a different vein tonight, but it's still going to be in line with where we at this year. And I want to encourage you, amen, to be here and be prayerful so that you can keep the heavens open so God can speak and pour upon you. Praise the Lord.